Good evening, everyone, or good morning. You can tell I'm still struggling with waking up. I want to begin by first welcoming all of our friends who are visiting us this morning. Thank you for being here. May God bless each and every one of you, and thank you for giving us your vote of confidence that we, as the Church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, indeed worship Him in spirit and in truth. I want to also thank our brother who covered for me this morning. Unfortunately, I was running late this morning. My alarm did not go off, and I apologize to everyone. Thankfully, you all know that is not customary for me, but still it is not excusable. Therefore, I'm grateful to our brother, one of our elders, for covering me, and I am truly sorry for my fault to you all. Please open your Bibles to the first book of John, the first letter of John, chapter 3. We begin our new quarter and our final quarter of 2023, and we'll be reading from verses 1 through 3 to start off our lessons, or our new series of lessons as assigned by our eldership. 1 John chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself, just as He is pure." Will you please bow with me in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we humbly bow before Thy feet. We honor Thee, we praise Thee with the fruit of our lips, giving Thee, Father, the honor that truly Thou art worthy of having. Only You are God. Only You are our Redeemer. And only You, Father, have given us this long-suffering, this grace, Father, so that we may continue to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Father, as we now come to this portion of worship where we now sit at Thy feet to listen to Thy word, please be with this Thy servant. Please allow me, Father, to speak in accordance to Thy will. And that as we begin this new series of lessons, Father, studying about one another, studying, Father, about our relationship in Christ with one another, please, Father, grant us the ability to listen, Father, to Thy word intently, to have the diligence to search through Thy scriptures to see if indeed these words are true, and, Father, to have the boldness and the meekness to put them into action so that, Father, we may have not only the knowledge and the understanding, but that we too, Father, may prove to the world that the wisdom from above is far superior to the wisdom from below. Forgive us, Father, when we have sinned against You. Be with those of our brethren who are not with us this morning. Thou knowest their hearts, and Thou knowest their reasons why. Be with our sick, Father, and be with those who are traveling. For we pray this in the glorious and precious name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. This quarter, our elders have assigned us the subject which they've entitled, "A Study of One Another, Our Relationship in Christ." What I have decided to do with what our elders done is to separate it into two parts. During our Bible studies, which should have happened this morning, but will, God willing, happen next Sunday morning, we'll be focusing on the part of the phrase, "one another." And during our lessons, during our sermons in the morning and the evening, we'll be doing word studies, if you will. We'll be talking about those words that identify how you and I are a family. How you and I share a bond. Those are the words for today. But if you observe carefully on your outlines, the lesson or the main theme of this quarter is going to be our relationship in Christ. And again, we're going to make our best effort to focus on words during this quarter. For example, if you pay attention to the fact that the Bible here in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, talks about how the Father bestowed on us. That pronoun "us" is inclusive, but at the same time it is also exclusive. And what we mean by this is that not everyone has received this manner of love from the Father, but rather it is a manner of love that we, those of us who have accepted or have been joined to the family, can truly be blessed to say. And this morning we have chosen the word "family." The word family truly defines, if you will, what our relationship is in Christ. But not everyone here this morning is part of the family. Not everyone here is within the pronoun of us, we, or our. There are some who are you, they, or them. And I don't mean it as the world means it. I mean it as in the reference that you are yet to be a part of the family of Christ. Notice how it begins, how it says that it is the Father who bestows on us that we should be called children of God. You know, as I was pondering on this subject and as I was thinking how, what direction I wanted us together to take upon these lessons, what we wanted to glean together, the word family came to mind, and the following question was what sprang in my mind's eye. How do you join a family? How can you say that you belong to a family? I looked up the definition in Merriam-Webster's online, and the first definition that the word said was, in a traditional sense, a household where there are parents and there are children. But then another one of the definitions that I was able to find was a group of people or individuals who have bonded and fellowship with one another, who share a strong connection. But still, the question lingered in my mind, how? How is a family then made? How do we then become a family for our relationship in Christ, as we are reading here in 1 John chapter 3, is that of a family? You've heard me say this before, and these passages give strength to this mentality. We are not like a family, we are a family. You will please go with me to Ephesians chapter 3. And observe how there the Bible confirms that indeed our relationship in Christ is not like a family. No, our relationship with Christ is because we are family. And beginning there at verse 14, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now pay attention to verse 15. From whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Now observe that in verse 14, Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is bowing his knees to the Father. The same Father that John in 1 John chapter 3 verses 1 through 3 has just declared that it is He who bestows on us the right to be called children of God. It is the same Father to whom Paul prays. It is to the same Father to whom Paul addresses, whom Paul goes to, and then he mentions our older brother, our Lord Jesus Christ. We see then that we bow our knees to the Father, and we always do so in the name of our brother, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. But once more, this is not something that can be enjoyed by just anybody. There are ways in which we become family. Verse 15, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Now pay attention to that. Observe how our first point is found here. One of the ways that we become family is that we marry into it. We marry into it. Notice how here in Ephesians chapter 3 verse 15 it is saying that the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Well, we, brethren, are Christians. And this is the name that was named from heaven. Acts chapter 4 verse 11 and 12 teaches us this. It tells us that there is no other name that has given to us from heaven, says Scripture. Notice that we are a family because we were given the family name. And we were given the family name when we, as the bride of Christ, married into the family. We became a family through marriage. Thus, our Father is God, and we see then that the Holy Spirit, in a way, is a brother-in-law or a brother. It's funny that in the Bible we don't see the epithet of in-law. You're either a father, a mother, or you are not a father or a mother. And there are only two ways You can be that biologically or through marriage. But observe, brethren, observe how being a family means that we are married to the Lamb of God. If you will, please go with me to Isaiah chapter 54. Isaiah chapter 54. Observe what the Bible says there, beginning there at verse 4. Isaiah chapter 54, beginning at verse 4. Do not fear, for you will not be ashamed. Neither be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame. For you will forget the shame of your youth, and will not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore. For your Maker is your husband, the Lord of hosts is his name. And observe, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth. Now pay attention to the fact, brethren, that here God is speaking to Zion. He is speaking to Jerusalem. And what He is doing is that He is speaking to them and He is reminding them of that covenant that He established with Abraham. But God once again is determining and explaining to them that they are His bride, that He is the husband. But then we see in verse 5 and verse 4 a prophecy in concerns to the relationship between Jesus and the church. And when we read this, observe in verse 5 how the Bible tells us that our Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. The question becomes, what does redemption have to do with marriage? Well, this is why knowing your Old Testament becomes very, very vital. What did Boaz do with Ruth? Remember that Ruth had lost her husband. She was a widow. In Isaiah chapter 54, verse 4, we see, you will not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore. Brethren, when we go to Romans chapter 7, beginning at verse 1, we see that Paul uses the idea or the analogy of a marriage to represent, specifically to the Jews, how their husband, which was the law of Moses, had died, and therefore they were widows and were free to now marry the law of Christ. We too, brethren, as Gentiles, put to death paganism. We too put to death our old man. And our previous husband died. Our husband of carnality and our husband of worldliness. And therefore we were widows by definition. But Christ, who is our husband, redeemed us from our widowhood. That is to say, He bought us back from that condition that we found ourselves in. We read in the Bible in Ruth chapter 4 how Boaz redeemed Ruth from her widowhood. But when we read here in Isaiah chapter 54 verse 5, pay close attention to who is our husband, who is our Lord, and what His name is. We are a family because we are the bride of Jesus Christ. We are a family because as the church, the one and only church, we are in a monogamous relationship with Christ. See, this is the problem with denominationalism. They try to make it okay, and they are essentially saying that Christ is in a polygamous relationship. They're saying that when it does not matter where you go, as long as you only worship God, that Christ is okay with being in an open relationship. And these terms they use to hide the reality that it is an adulterous relationship. But our Lord is no adulterer, for He is holy. Our Christ is not unfaithful, for He cannot deny Himself, says Scripture. And thus, when we think about our relationship in Christ, we have to remember that we are family. We are family through marriage. Because our old man died, our old husband died, the traditions of our fathers died, and therefore we were widows that were redeemed by the blood of Christ. But then we think about another way that we can become family. We spoke about how we can be married into it, but then there is the more natural way where we are born into the family. You will please go with me to the book of John chapter 3. The book of John, the gospel account of John chapter 3. And notice the conversation between Christ and Nicodemus. Beginning there at verse 3, Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again." So you can either marry and become part of the family, or you can be born into the family and be biologically related to one another. Notice that Jesus Christ explained to Nicodemus that we must be born again. And if you pay attention to the way that Christ escalates it, in verse 3, first we have to understand that he cannot see the kingdom unless he is born again. But then we see in verse 5 that he once again states, "I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom." We're family. I'll let you figure that one on your own. But observe, brethren, that 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3 teaches us that the Father has bestowed on us the right to be called children of God. Once more, the pronoun us. Our relationship in Christ, not the world's relationship in Christ. Our relationship in Christ. That expression is already declaring to us that we have to enter into the family. And Christ here is teaching us, lest you be born again of the water and the Spirit, you're not a part of the family. You are not in me, you are out me, outside of me. When we talk and we read about being born of the water and the Spirit, brethren, we know that the Bible is teaching us about obedience to the gospel. We know that Christ in verse 3 speaks about seeing the kingdom, but then verse 5, Christ is speaking about an action. He's talking about entering. Therefore, we are given the opportunity and the door is made ample for us to be able to go in through it. But in Hebrews chapter 10, we learn that we are only able to go through the veil because of the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for you and I. Said sacrifice that we emulate through baptism. But we'll get to that in a minute. Observe, brethren, that we are a family because we were all born of the water and of the Spirit. We are a family because we were reborn by the same gospel in the same Savior through the same Word. And therefore, because we were born of Him, we are all His children. Turn a few pages in your Bibles to John chapter 1 and observe how the Apostle John, inspired by the Holy Spirit, begins to set this stage. Beginning there at verse 11, "He came to His own and His own did not receive Him." He is talking about the Jews. He is talking about how Jesus came to the house of Israel. He came to His family. But His biological and bloodline, very earthly bloodline, rejected Him. In other words, they kicked them out of the family. But we keep reading. "But as many as received Him, To them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. You see, brethren, we were not born out of the blood, because clearly our blood types are different. Clearly our bloodlines are multiple. We were not born according to the will of man, because we have already read how the Jews themselves, out of their own sheer will, rejected Jesus. The Apostle Peter in Acts chapter 4 and verse 11 quotes to them, "This is the stone which you, the builders, rejected," quoting the prophet Isaiah. You kicked them out of the family because you didn't like what he had to say. But the family of heaven, the family of God, is not according to the will of man. You see, friends, this is why no man can say that he can allow you or to join a family. We have no right. That right belongs to the Father and only the Father. Once more, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. We cannot determine whether you fit in with us or not as a church. Meaning that you have to have a certain social status, or you have to be of a certain sociocultural background, or of a certain ethnicity. We have no right in any of that area, because that is according to the will of man. But that's not how we are born. And it's fascinating when you think about it. Because how many of us chose the race, the financial status, and the political stasis that we wanted to be born into? You know, I find it funny because we're always talking about those who were born into poverty, but sometimes I believe we're too harsh on those who were born into wealth. We hold it against them because they were born into a wealthy family. We use terms such as, "Oh, you were born with a silver spoon." What choice did that person have? Why are we attacking them for something they had no control over? Because we very likely are envious and are upset that we weren't born into a wealthy family. Well, you see, in God, we can all be born into the wealthiest of all. In God, we can be born, if we accept, says via the Bible. Verse 12 says, "But as many as received him." You see, there we receive Jesus as our husband. And from there we see that we will be born out of the will of God. It is a spiritual birth, not a physical one. But because we were all born from the same spiritual womb, that makes us family. Because we all have the same blood type. And that blood type is Christ Jesus. Our relationship in Christ came to be through marriage, and it came to be through birth. But there is a third way in which you and I, or a person rather, can become family. And that is through adoption. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Beginning there at verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." Now observe, brethren, this blessing. The blessing comes once again from the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. First John chapter 3 verse 1, it is the God and Father of our Lord who has determined that we can be called the children of God to bestow upon us this honor. It is the same Father who has allowed His Son to take His bride's hand in marriage, who has approved of His selection. It is the same Father of whom we are born from, not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, through the water and the Spirit. And now observe, it is the same God and Father who has blessed us. It's exclusive, but it is also inclusive. Not everybody enjoys every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Why? Because you have to be in Christ. You know, for those of us who study on Tuesdays, we call that two-letter word in, Luann's word. Because this sister, when she was learning the gospel, had not yet put on Christ. It was through that two-letter word that she understood that it means that to be in something requires immersion and submersion. You can't say you're in something if you never go through it. You cannot say that you are in something if you've never entered it. And there's only one way that we can be in Christ. But again, we'll get to that in a few minutes. But observe. Observe how the Bible says, verse 5, that He has predestined us, not us individually, but rather the church. The word us there is referring to the church. The plan from eternity. God's redemption scheme of salvation. But observe what He determined, what God predetermined from even before the foundation of the world. He predetermined to adopt us as sons. He gave us His name. He gave us a meaning, a purpose. He gave us integrity and honor. No wonder Isaiah 54:5 says that He is our Redeemer. He not only redeemed us from widowhood, He also redeemed us from the orphanage. Christ promised His 12, "I will not leave you orphans." Without God in this world, we had no honor. The name that we carried before Christ was a disgraceful and dishonorable name because it belongs to the wicked one. But Christ took us to Himself, says Scripture. And the Father adopted us as His own. He made us His family. He gave us entrance into the family. And it was only possible in Christ. We are not like a family, brethren. We are the family of heaven. Those who went before us, who have left this world, they are still our family. Those who died faithfully until death, they are still our family. And we are still, if we are faithful, theirs as well. But let us not forget that the only way we have this honor to say that we belong to the family of heaven is either through marriage, by birth, or through adoption. But here's the beauty of all of that. In Christ, there's only one way you can achieve all three of these at the same time. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. beginning there at verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning there at verse 16. Therefore, from now on we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know Him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, there's that two-letter word, there's Luann's word again. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Do you understand, friend, what that phrase means? That we are a new creation? Verse 16 begins to set the tone for us as it tells us that we are to, from now on, we are to regard no one according to the flesh. Brethren, let's start with us, the house of God. We need to stop looking at each other according to the flesh. We need to stop giving priority to our biological family, because Galatians chapter 6 verse 10 tells me that I have to give priority to the household of faith. Because I am not to regard any according to the flesh anymore. Because in Christ, you and I are simultaneously a bride, a biological child, and an adopted son. Never had this been heard of before. Behold, a new creation. We are a family through marriage, through birth, and through adoption. Because it all happens in obedience through the gospel. When we are baptized for the remission of our sins, it is in baptism where we put to death the old man. That's where we become widows. And it is there where Christ takes us to be His bride. He redeems us. It is in baptism where we are born of the Spirit and the water. There is the spiritual birth. I'm tempted to say natural, but we know that it isn't natural, because it is spiritual, because it is not according to the flesh. But that time in baptism, at the same time, it is where God adopts us. He gives us His name. It is in that moment where we hear God say, "You are my son, and I am your father. You are my daughter, and I am your father." What is our relationship in Christ? The relationship of family. But this only includes those who have obeyed the gospel by putting on Christ in baptism for the remission of sins. If you are not in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5, 16, and 17 does not apply to you. You can continue looking at people according to the flesh. You can continue making yourself believe that you are a child of God, but the Bible does not agree with you. Because you have not taken Christ's hand in marriage. You have not been born of the water and the Spirit. And therefore you have not received the adoption as a child of God, meaning you have no place in the inheritance that is promised to all three of these things. Have you paid attention to the fact that inheritance belongs to the widow and the children? We are a family, we are the family, because when we obeyed the gospel, that day we were born again, we were betrothed to Christ, and we were adopted by the Father. We are a new creation. God gave us a triple assurance that we belong to His family. And do you remember when we mentioned the fact that man cannot give entrance nor join anybody? This is why. Because our limitations as human beings is the or of the situation. I am part of the family either by marriage, or by birth, or by adoption, but not all three. I can only do one. But God, to whom no things are impossible, only He, and He alone, has achieved all three to make sure that there is no confusion as to what you and I are in regards to Him and with one another. We are family. A threefold cord cannot be easily broken. This morning, my friend, the Spirit and the Bride says, come. Revelation chapter 22 makes that invitation to you. This morning, Christ the husband wants to redeem you from your widowhood. This morning, the Spirit, through the obedience of His inspired word, wants to allow you to give birth to you spiritually. And the Father wants to give you His name. He wants to adopt you. How beautiful that the deity is involved in every one of these factors of becoming and being a family. We marry the Son, we're born through the Spirit, and we are adopted by the Father. How glorious the Bible is. But you have to do your part too, friend. You have heard the gospel this morning. And the fact that you're still here shows us that you believe, meaning that you have accepted this as the Word of God, that you believe and see the logic behind what the Bible is saying. But have you repented of your sins? Has your mind changed in regards to what your stance is before God? Has your heart changed before God saying, I am a sinner? Be merciful of me, O Father. If that has taken place where now your guilt is producing in you godly sorrow that leads unto salvation, that leads to the path that we're talking about now, and all you need to do now, from that point where your heart has turned from rebellious to meek, from disobedient to obedient, from proud to humble, you have to be willing to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that you believe with all of your heart that His blood can wash away your sins, as the Ethiopian eunuch did in Acts chapter 8, verse 37. But that does not stop there. Then you are required to prove that you mean what you said. You have to walk the walk, not just talk the talk. James chapter 1, verse 19 through 21 teaches you that you have to receive with meekness the implanted word of truth. That means that you have to put it into practice. You have to be a doer of the word. And this is where baptism comes in. You have to be immersed into the waters of baptism. And then into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then you will rise, or you will emerge from those waters, being a new creation. You'll be family. You will be part of the spiritual family of whom we all take our name in heaven and on earth. Don't you want to be part of the family today? Don't you want for the Lord to add you to His body? If there's anyone subject to this invitation this morning, we encourage you to come forward as we stand and we sing.